Welcome to Bodcast, the Business of Dentistry podcast, brought to you by Practice Plan. Bodcast delivers the best business advice, real-life stories, and practical hints and tips to make your practice a more profitable and sustainable business. And now, here's your host.
Hello, welcome to today's podcast. I'm Zoe Close, Area Sales Manager for Practice Plan. Recently, I caught up with Harriet Purdy, who explained what to expect and how to get ready for your CQC inspection.
So what is the best way to prepare for your inspection? And I think that's the thing, there's been such varying accounts of inspections. So this is where the consistency is going to come into play. So hopefully things will be a lot more consistent. Best way to prepare, learn to delegate. And I know previous speakers have touched on this before as well. Dentists are not very good at doing this. Being a dentist, married to a dentist, I can say this, I was a complete micromanager. I wanted to manage everything in my practice because nobody could do it as well as I could do it, and I had to be the one doing it. And to top it all off, my husband was exactly the same, so it was a nightmare. So then we realised that we couldn't do everything ourselves, so we delegated. And then when we delegated, we watched over everybody like a hawk to make sure they were doing it, but doing it our way. So we may as well have just done it ourselves. This is so demoralising for staff, and I think I probably lost a few team members because of this, but I've learned from it. So do learn to delegate. If you're a practice manager or a practice owner who feels like you're doing everything, you probably are. So do learn to delegate because it will give people empowerment and a sense of purpose in their job as well. And they will feel like they're really part of the team. So do delegate, but don't delegate and then watch like a hawk because it just doesn't work. Have regular practice meetings. One a month at least if you can. I know it's difficult if you've got lots of part-time members of staff trying to get everybody to come in, but you need to be regularly having these meetings, and this is a CQC requirement as well. So have a meeting, have an agenda, have minutes, and discuss important things within your meeting. Sharing tasks, we've talked about that a bit. Training your staff and training them adequately. So this means if you have a new member of staff, have a robust induction program. This is another area that CQC are really looking at. Don't just get someone in and put them on the job. It doesn't work. I think we used to be able to do that, but not now. You must put them through an induction program, which covers in-house health and safety, how to use the equipment that you've got in the practice, the patient journey. You must be training that and you must be documenting it as well. Because as far as the CQC and the GDC are concerned, if you've not written it down, you've not done it. So do document that. If somebody goes away in maternity and comes back, you must do almost like a mini induction for them again, because they may have been away for a while and things will have changed within the practice. Ensure that everybody understands compliance is everybody's responsibility. It is not just one person's responsibility anymore. It's the whole team's responsibility. Okay. And ensure that they live and breathe the practice policies and procedures, because your whole team will be asked questions. Your receptionist may be asked questions about what happens in the surgery. I had a dentist once that was asked, how did he know what temperature his instruments were being cleaned at? So this is the level of detail they are going into. They expect you to be familiar. You're working in a clinical environment, so they expect you to understand your environment, to be safe in it, and to be able to treat patients safely as well. Get feedback from your team. Ask them what we think. Don't always like to do this. I was a culprit of that because I knew I probably wasn't always doing the right things, as I say, watching them like hawks. But do get feedback. So your staff satisfaction surveys are really important because they're anonymous. If you have appraisals, however, do make sure that you do them at least once a year, because the CQC expect to see that as well. But anonymous feedback surveys are good, so it's a good thing to do. And lastly, empower them. And that goes back to what I was saying about delegating, letting them get on with the task, and let people make mistakes as well. This is really hard to do. As a practice owner, I was so passionate about my business, and watching someone make a mistake was really difficult, but it is the only way often that they will learn. So do encourage your team, allow them to make mistakes. Sometimes perfectionism can actually hold you back a bit, so learn to delegate and not micromanage. Feedback from your patients. Okay, this is another really important area for the CQC. They will want you to have been doing, as we discussed, your satisfaction surveys. With your satisfaction surveys, make sure that you're asking patients the right questions. Now, there's questions that you'll want to know as a business owner, as a dentist, but there's also questions that the CQC want you to know. So they want to know that your patients are being asked if the practice is clean. Are they being informed about the fees? Do they feel safe? Do they feel that they have been given appropriate consent? So do think about what kind of questions that you're asking, because this is the only way to give the CQC the answers that they want. Capturing of ad hoc comments, okay, this is great. Just have a little book behind the desk for the receptionist. All too often, a patient will go out of the surgery and they'll maybe be very complimentary about the dentist and nurse perhaps at the desk, but the dentist and the nurse don't always get to hear that. So it's a really great morale booster. If things like this do happen, positive things, positive comments, that it's shared with the whole team. Suggestion boxes. I'm not a massive fan of these, but these are okay. Often patients don't want to fill out a full survey, but they might want to make a comment. So it's good to have this available. And like I said before, tracking of your complaints. So having a complaint tracker. It is not enough now just to have a complaints folder with letters and correspondence. You must have some kind of tracker where you're tracking what happened, when it happened, who was informed, and so on. So that's really important. So preparing, we do this by auditing our compliance, as we've said. There's lots of things that we have to audit in the practice. We have to audit our record cards, our cleaning records. A couple of important things here. Make sure that you're doing your Infection Prevention Society audit every 6 months, okay? That is really important. And the latest inspections I've seen, they're not only looking to see that you've done your audit, but they're looking to see that you have shared it with the team and that you've acted on any outstanding actions. So don't just do it and say, oh, we got 97%, that's great. Do it, look at where that 3% is, act on it and share it with the team. Again, I know I keep saying about patient record cards, cannot emphasise this enough, it is so important from a GDC point of view, but also from a CQC point of view. So make sure that your clinicians are auditing their patient record cards. So coming back to how do you audit your compliance? Well, at Appline, we have tools specifically designed to do this. So we have an automated audit on the iPad. This is color-coded in terms of what needs to get done, what can wait a bit, and what would be nice to get done. It then downloads into an app and makes sure that you actually do all these things. So this is our audit tool that we use. Various questions that all link back to the fundamental standards, GDC standards. If you're not doing it, it comes up as a task on your app and then you get an email reminder. So it's almost like your compliance calendar. You don't need to use our tools, but you need to use something, okay? You need to be auditing your compliance. And as I say, the CLOIs are a really good place to start. So that provider handbook, appendix, do read it because it will be a really good start to auditing that. And like I said, another way to audit your compliance is by doing all your regular audits, but also auditing complaints, satisfaction surveys, and so on, because this will show that not only are you doing everything you need to do within the regulations, but that you're also monitoring it, sharing it with the team, and acting on it. the GDC. Okay, I always get looks of despair when this comes up. GDC have got a bit of bad press at the moment. And we have to think as well about the kind of world that we are working within with regards to the GDC and the constraints around that. I think we can all be confident that the British public is increasingly litigious. And in fact, I think we are the most litigious country in the world now. We were battling it out with Israel for a long time. Now we are number one. We're more litigious than the Americans. So be aware that the British public are, they're there and they know what they're looking for. No win, no fee approach. Again, this has had a strong impact on dentistry. It does concern me when I see all these medical negligence, no win, no fee stuff on the telly. It's just becoming more and more. And also, I think there's been a significant rise with the need to attribute blame when things go wrong. So I think more and more the public are less inclined to take responsibility for things. So we're working within that, and we're also trying to work with the GDC. So it really is creating almost like a perfect storm. GDC, some might argue, judge, jury and executioner, no comment. You must read the GDC standards, okay? This is a tiny, tiny little book, okay? It's not going to take too long to read. If you do something, this book, this tells you as a registrant what you must do, okay? And you need to ensure that you do what you say they do. So previously the GDC standards have all been a bit woolly. They've said should, but did they mean must? And when they said must, did they mean should? They've changed that, so it's a lot less woolly. The new standards say you must, okay? If for whatever any reason the GDC say you should do something, you must do it, okay? If you don't do something where they've said you should, you will not have a leg to stand on if anything does happen. So make sure you're doing everything within the GDC standards. Issues around the GDC, as we've said, there's been a lot of unprecedented rise in cases. Do, like I say though, read the standards because it will tell you what you should do and again do all the must things. If a case does reach the GDC, you want to make sure that you are doing everything within the standards. I think if you do have a read of the standards, I think most of us would be hard pushed to say that our clinicians, dental nurses, etc., do everything it says we should. So do have a read of them because there could be a problem if you do end up within the GDC. Problems within the GDC, a lot of people feel there's too few dentists on there, too many lay people. A lot of cases that are going to the GDC are very trivial and they're not actually fitness to practice cases at all. Often they're taking up to 2 years to go through. I know of a colleague who went through this process for something that turned out to be a false allegation and he went through absolute hell. So it is happening and it is scary. But again, it all comes back to making sure that you're fail-safe by having excellent patient records and doing everything you should be doing. And really, patient records are your main defence if you do ever have a hearing. Huge rise in costs with fitness to practice cases, and we all know that's miles out of line with the GMC. So that was a painful payment that some of us had to make. They've lost the respect and confidence of the profession, but they are now reinventing themselves, so this might be interesting. Other issues around regulations. GDC nurses are now registered with the General Dental Council. They have a responsibility to whistleblow. This can be a very good thing, so this can be in patients' interest, but it could also be a negative thing, and I've heard of a few accounts of potentially vexatious claims being made, but overall I think it is a positive thing. but there is potential for this to set hairs running. So, 8 things that you must do. As I've said, involve your team in compliance. It's a team effort. It's not just one person's effort, it's everybody's. Audit your compliance. So the CLOIs, it's a good place to start, but make sure that you're doing all the audits you should be. Your IPS audit, your radiograph quality audit, audits of your record cards, audits of your waiting times. Make sure you're doing all those. And again, sharing them with your team. Okay, don't just do them and keep it to yourself. Do share it. Have plans for addressing any non-compliance. So this is where your significant incidents or significant events forms come into play. So if you know you're not doing something that you should be, if you can't address it in time, do a significant events form, and it is almost like your get out of jail card. Ensure all your compliance tasks are scheduled, so do be very organised. If you're not organised, CQC and compliance is an absolute nightmare. So do have your folders organised, know where everything is, know where to find things, and make sure that tasks are appropriately delegated. Getting feedback from your patients and staff, acting on it, as I've said, recording significant events, and bespoking your policies and procedures, so none of this generic insert name stuff. You might be paddling furiously underwater, but you want to give your inspector confidence. So if you have an organised practice where everybody lives and breathes the practices, your inspector is going to love you for it, and they're going to have a lot of confidence. If you don't give them confidence, so as I was saying, if you have a policy that says you use something that you don't use, or it says this team member is your infection control lead, but they left the practice 5 years ago, that is not going to instill confidence, and they are going to start delving deeper, and they will find all your skeletons, because some of the inspectors are dentists and they've had the same skeletons, so they'll be looking for them and they know what to look for. Compliance is for life, not just for your inspection. So the days of bringing out bags on the day of inspection and bagging your instruments is gone. And preparation is key. If you're prepared, you will be absolutely fine. Don't put it off, because CQC is something that people get very kind of worked up about, a bit nervous about, and subconsciously it is a stress on your daily working environment. So do be prepared and do be organised, so that if you do get the call that the inspector is coming, you're not going to panic. And you're not alone. If you're struggling with your accounts, you get an accountant. If you have a legal issue, you get a lawyer. If you get a compliance issue, we just try and do it ourselves and muddle on. And that's fine if you can do it, but there is help out there. And here at Appoline, we're always happy to help anybody. We have a free helpline as well. So if you want to phone and ask any questions, we're always there for you. Okay.
Thank you, Harriet. Thank you all for listening today. Hope you all found that really useful.